Good morning. Yeah, in Kenya we say habari. Habari, and then you say mzuri. Habari? That's how are you? And then mzuri, good or fine. So I'm so happy to be here, and I'm privileged to meet new people and seeing some faces that I've met with them through the week. And I feel, you say that there are three Africans, but I'm feeling I'm at home, despite the... yeah, so I'm so glad. And I think before Sam sits, you can just come here for a few minutes. He has really embarrassed me about my red pant. But we'll do something that we normally do in Africa. When today's Sam's birthday, maybe some of you don't know, so we'll sing happy birthday for very few seconds. So let's sing. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Sam. Happy birthday to you. Thank you. Thank you. So I'm so happy to be here. And yeah, the way Pastor Kevin has said, I was in Kenya 6 months ago. And some of the congregants also have visited Kenya for the last, let me say, 9 years. John, together with Alisa and Alana and Dudley. So we are so happy. Like for me, I'm happy because when I come here and seeing the faces that I've met this week and seeing Dudley and the rest, I'm so happy and encouraged to meet new people also. So as you've heard, Fikisha, it's a Swahili word, and it means to reach or to enable. And that is the work that we've been doing since back in 2005, when I was at my teenage. I will speak about it later, but I'm so happy because there's a common verse that normally, like I was taught while I was, let me say 6 years, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. It's common, but if you go intense, because normally when I read a common verse that I know, every day I get a different revelation. And that is the love that God had for us, and that is when he offered his life to come and save us. It's so hard for many people to do something like that. And for us, I thank God because at an early age, like at my early age of my teen, we offered our lives to Jesus. And I told, I don't remember her name. She's here. I'm sorry, I don't remember your name. But I remember her. We spent time with them. We were with them at Pat's house. And I told her that since that day, I never regret the decision that I made in my life. Yeah, because what the Lord has done in my life, it's a great testimony. And not only in my life, but the people whom we have affected, like we have given them chances to come and renew their life and to make better decisions in life. So this time we'll watch a short video, and then from there, I'll speak more. Thank you so much. I'll start by telling my short story, and then I'll say some few testimonies, and yeah, we know that we will have one communion together. So my name's Sir Francis Ogot. Those are my official name, but I love to be called Frank. And yes, born and raised from the same village that we're working with. It's called Kawangware. It's in the capital city of Nairobi. And I'm coming from a family of nine kids. And it's five girls, four boys. And both of my parents are alive. They're still living in that village. And during that time, we used to, like with the condition that the living standards of the slum, my parents could not able to take all the kids back to school because that is a very big family, a family of nine kids. And the time my dad was retiring, that is the time that my brother and I, we were completing primary school. So in Kenya, there's primary, 8 years from class one to class eight, and then secondary, 4 years, and then you go to college, 4 years. So that is the time that we were finishing, me and my brother, we were completing primary, and it's the time that my dad was retiring. So that night he came, and I remember very well, we sat together, like we were taking dinner, And he told us that that is the end of our education. It was a very sad night. In fact, when you're living in the slums and you love education and you, that's the only way, like a kid from the slum knows that if there's only way that can make me out of this place, it's through education. And there's this news that is coming that we are not going to continue with our education. And it was very sad. My brother, Max, is so emotional. He cried that day. And there's nothing we could do. We just, we coped with what we were told. So there's three things you can choose while you're in the slum. If you're not going to school, it's either you join the gang groups, it's either you become a street kid, or the third thing, you'll just do crazy. You do drugs, or you do so many crazy things around that are happening there. But for us, I thank God, because that is the time that we had a group of friends. Some of the last picture that you've seen, those are the people who, like the youths during my days when we were joining that church, Lutheran church. One of them that joined the church, and then he came to tell us about there's so many activities. You'll not be boring, like staying in the slum, just sitting like that. So come and join this place, and there's so many things to do. So that is the time I met God, and I'm saying that during my teen, it was 14 years. I will never regret, and I never regret the decision that I made that time. And joining this church, there are so many activities that were happening, games, drama, and we were taught how to do ministry. And that is when we knew, like, the group that we were there together, that you've seen at the last picture, we were about 14 to 15 young people, and we grew in the same village. Some of them, they're orphans. Most of them, they went through rough times, even more than what I'm explaining about our family. And we knew that we were coming from the same place, and there are so many kids who are going through the same thing. And we knew that we want to do something that is different, because one thing that the street kids are going through in that area, most churches, they don't welcome them. Not only in most churches, even some individual, they don't want to interact with them, because they tend to think that they're harm, like they're thieves. They have this bad perception towards them. But for us, we knew, like, that is the only place, like, it was the, like, if we didn't make the choice that we made, maybe we'll be like them. So we wanted to do something different and start a ministry. And that is when we started Fikisha as a ministry. The name Fikisha was not, we were not using the name Fikisha. We were just running a street program. And we used to go to the street, we talk with them, and we welcome them on Sunday. So before we started, our idea was to have a street church. And they basically, we couldn't do it in the street. So we talked with the pastor of the church and the elders, and they allowed us to run the program inside the church. So we used to meet with them every Sunday in the morning. We take tea together, and then we fellowship, and then they go back to the streets. We ran that program since 2005 to 2009. We met Alisa and Sam. They were students from Concordia University. And we were almost all the same age. So they were coming to visit Africa for the first time, Kenya. And that is when we met all together. They came to Kawangware, like the meeting, and I can say that is the work of God, because I can't explain what happened for us to meet together. And this is God, like the way we normally say that he has set, like today, when I'm standing here, I'm so much privileged because it was already planned for me to be here today and speak with you. And that is the same way God planned for Lisa and the team to come to Kenya. We met with them, and they saw the work that we're doing, and there was a kid they met who was called Isaac, who was at 5 years. And at that age, living on the streets, the drugs are there, so many crazy things are happening. They felt so sad about Isaac. And while we were talking and explaining that they were asking so much question how they can help Isaac, when they saw the amount of money, like, we'll put Isaac to school, there was, like, it was, for them, it was something that it's crazy. Like, this kid is here just because of this amount of money. And they contributed as the kids, as the students, and we were able to take Isaac to school. After taking Isaac to school, we had all this back and forth conversation with them. And that is when Alisa decided to remain back in a foreign country, her first time. And also, like, whatever Alisa did, for us, it was organic, that it's the work of God. Because here, you are in a foreign country, you met these people for the first time, there's that connection that has happened. That is the work of God. No one, like, it's not a work of man. And Lisa stayed there for 4 months while we were discussing how we can, because there was so much need. Like, it's not only Isaac who is going through this kind of life. There are so many kids who are going through this kind of life. And that's when we decided to form Fikisha, and the name Fikisha started there. So Fikisha, the way I've said, it means to reach or to enable. And we formed a team that will work and continue with this work. We are 4 staffs. There's Mercy, Barak, and Moses. They have great stories, personal stories. And we have so many kids that we have helped since that time. And back in 2014, John Norton was one of the board members of Boy the Ball during those days. And they had a conversation with Jamie. And that is when we were invited to become board member, like a member organization of Boy the Ball. So we are Boy the Ball Kenya. And we thank God because since we joined Boy the Ball, we have received so many trainings. And they're working in helping us. And also just having one body around the world that we are talking. And our main aim, vision is one, to help the young people around the world and to save the lives of the broken lives that are happening in the families and all these things. So I have a few stories that I want to share with you. There's so many stories that I can share, but I'll just go through some few stories that I have. There's a slideshow, but I'll talk about, there's a kid we met 7 years ago. His name is Arnold Kadenge. And Arnold Kadenge, when we met Arnold Kadenge, there is Arnold. First of all, he was really addicted into drugs. One of the main drugs that they're using, it's called glue. They put it in a piece of bottle. Glue, it's either gum, I can say gum or glue, and then they sniff it. Normally that thing really was like, it makes them lazy, they don't do anything, they're just sleeping, and they can't do anything. So, and it's very cheap. They use glue or there's jet fuel or gasoline. They pour it in a piece of cloth and then they sniff. So Kadenge, when we met him, he was really into a bad state. And there's a trip that we took with him in another place where like we normally walk with them and they trust us because they share anything that they are going through. So we traveled with Arnold Kadenge and he stayed for 4 days without using any drugs. And when he stayed for that 4 days, he knew there's something that has happened into his life. Like 4 days, we are just there doing some community work, and we are fellowshipping together. And God met him, and he decided that I want to change, and I want to see my life is in another position. So we took Arnold, and there's a program that we started. It was called Fikisha Invite Hope, to make cards. And Kadenge was one of the apprentices that we took him. So after taking him to that program, he was able to pay his rent, and he could now have a house where that he can live. So Kadenge changed, and God blessed him with a beautiful wife, and they got a baby girl. So the time last year, that is last year, at the time that they were bringing, like it was a baptism day, and normally like in Lutheran, like the church that I normally go, when you get a kid out of wedlock, okay, somehow they normally encourage people to do weddings. And there were like 4 parents who were there. Their kids were baptized, but all of them, they had a same case. So Kadenge is a former street kid who is there with the wife, and also there are other 3 members of the church. And then the pastor just asked the congregation, are you guys ready that we support these people to do a mass wedding? And everyone was, yeah, that is a good idea. So it was the first mass wedding. You can see the picture there. And his best man is Moses. He's one of the guys we're working with. It was a great thing. That day, you couldn't imagine what happened in the community that we're living. There were so many people, like 800 plus, that came to witness what is happening. This is Kadenge getting married. It's a story that they will live to talk about it. It's a story that it's there. People are still talking about it. And for us, we offered our lives because we want to see the change, and also not only change, but bringing people to Christ through the work that you're doing. I normally tell Pastor Tengecha, he's my pastor, he's called James Tengecha, that your work is in the pulpit, but we're in the pulpit in a different way. For us, we are going there outside, seeking them and bringing them here. So we thank God because of giving us this opportunity. And Kadenge right now is a responsible citizen. So most of our big street boys, normally they don't go to school because at their age, so we normally connect them with work or try to get them important documents like ID and also taking them to vocational trainings. But the small ones, the only option is to take them back to school. So we have another story of Josephine. So Josephine, when we met Josephine, the one with the white dress, when we met Josephine, we met her while he was 4 years. And Josephine, her mother used to sell alcohol, and she was a single mother. So Josephine has only one brother. And during the, a mother who is selling alcohol, because it's a local brew, and they normally use some chemicals to make alcohol, and then they're selling them like $1 per cup. So, and then the mother, while she's selling, she drinks. So she's selling and she's also alcoholic, she's just drunk all the time. So the mother could not able to take Josephine to school. And normally, in the slum areas, public schools, primary, it's free, but high school and college you pay, and private primary you pay. So some of the parents, they don't want to take their kids to school because at the end of the day, they have other hidden expenses. They need to buy a uniform, they need to buy books, all the school supplies. And some of the parents, they tend to think, why am I taking this kid to school? And at the end of the day, he will not be able to go through high school and college. But we normally encourage them, just take your kid to school at any level because you don't know what God will do. So Josephine was not going to school. He was just nearly joining the street, and we rescued her very fast because she has never joined any level of school because we have also preschool. And when we take Josephine, first we took her to a day school because the mother was alive. But normally our kids, we normally take them to private boarding school because the advantage of that, they'll get all the three meals. You're not guaranteed all the three meals, but in school you'll get all the three meals. That's why we take them to boarding school. And also they'll be free from all this pressure of slum, and they'll be able to learn and perform well. So the first time Josephine, we took her to day school because the mother was around, and we tried to check her education. We normally assess the situation at home. We do all these visits at school and at home. And it was really getting worse. The mother was drinking too much. His big brother joined the street and just ran away in another part of Nairobi. And his mother continued like that. What happened, the alcohol affected her mother. So the mother was very sick. And one of the neighbors, because her best friend used to sell on her behalf. So the mother was just bedridden, and she's very sick, and she was not able to speak with anyone because when she's feeling pain, she's just drinking alcohol, and she's okay. So the mother, one day she was so sick, and she was in a worse condition. The neighbors took and just dropped her in one of the public hospitals in Nairobi. And before, the doctors just rushed to attend her, she died. And Josephine, she's remaining alone. It's so hard to explain to her, what is happening. So we thank God because there's a school that we have partnered with. And they love our work because the owner of that school, she's a lady, and she's saved. And she's so good because normally when you take our kids there, they know how to handle them. So we spoke to her about the situation of Josephine, and she allowed Josephine to join the school. And we told her, we'll be visiting, and also she was playing part to just counsel Josephine and talk to her. So Josephine joined boarding. Her mother, unfortunately, there was so many problems with the other family relatives because reaching them, it was so hard. We don't have contacts. The ones that have come, they are not willing to carry the burden of burying the body. And normally the law of Kenya, if you don't claim the body after 3 months, that is an identified body. So they normally dispose the body. So Josephine, the mother, she doesn't know where the mother went, and she did not even attend the burial of her mother. So we talked these cases of such kids, because there are so many kids who are orphans and they go through these cases. But normally we find a host family whereby when they are off schools, because in Kenya, after 3 months, 1 month you are on holiday. After 3 months, 1 month on holiday. So April, August, and December, it's holiday. And so Josephine is an orphan, but what we thank God is because with all this situation that all these kids are going through, we normally teach them because we have a devotion that we normally carry during the holidays. We have mentorship sessions that we normally go through. There we have the families that we have already given them scholarship, and we normally try to also link the families together because there's also mentorship that is happening among the family, and they speak their issues about to take care of their kids and also the importance of education. So there's a group of parents who normally meet. And from this group and the congregants is where we normally ask for host family. So Josephine, I spoke with my mother, and she agreed to stay with Josephine. Right now she's in class 7. We've stayed with her since then, and she's completing high school next year. And she's among one of the girls who are still going through difficult times in the slum areas. But we thank God because he's God of orphans, and he comes through any situation that is going through. And since this work that we started, we've seen so many great testimonies in that village. And God is working and is able. And I'm here and I can testify that. I normally say that I've tested it and I've seen the goodness of our Lord. For me, my personal story, the way I said, after that I was able to do a private education. And I completed, there's a way you can register as a private candidate and you can do the paper that you're supposed to do in high school. So I completed that. And there's also another friend of mine who came and she was willing to pay for my college. So I was able to join university and did project management and planning. So all these successes from my story to all these kids, we are all going back to that village and working and committing our lives to make sure that we are good stories that we can come back and tell them it is possible, it is possible. You can make it, you can make it, you can make it, you can make it. And like all our kids, when they finish high school, when they reach at the level of high school and college, they also come back as volunteers and also to show the other kids that it is possible. It's a sign to show them you can make it. So the last story of this kid is, he's called Tony. So Tony Wekesa, that's Alisa. In fact, when Alisa met Tony, I think Tony was, Alisa was taller than Tony when he met her. Right now they're big boys. So Tony also has the same story, like he's living with a single mother and he's the firstborn. And Tony he also went through the same life stories that other kids are going through. Tony was not able to, there's an organization that was funding her, and they stopped funding her because they were funding other kids in his family. So Tony was not, at the age, the time he was nearly ending up primary, that is class 8, when we met him, he was not able to go through, to proceed to another class because her mother could not able to afford to school the other kids. So that's when we met Tony, and we came through to help her through primary, and then he joined high school. Tony is one of the brightest kids at Fikisha, and in fact, when he completed high school, he used to say, I want to be a doctor, I want to be a doctor, I want to be a doctor. And Tony, when he completed high school, we didn't took him to college immediately. He stayed, in fact, for 4 years. Just coming back and helping back and helping back. Because in Fikisha, because of the resources that we have, in fact, for the last 2 years, we haven't taken any scholarship. Like, we have not given any scholarship to any kid for the last 2 years. Because the kids that we have right now, the 45 kids we have, we want them to because the resources that we have is only to help these 45 that we already have. But every week, we are meeting with 50 plus kids every Tuesday and Friday that are on the streets, still on the streets, and they want to go back to school, they want to be reconnected back to their families, but we have these challenges of resources. But we thank God, despite all these things, there's something we have some things to celebrate and some things to say that God is working. So we took Tony, and he was just coming now to volunteer in our Tuesday and Friday program, talking to other kids that we are meeting with them. So we normally have a waiting list, and this waiting list, we normally pair the kids with their needs. So there's a list of about 23 kids who right now they want to go to school. But we are still praying and hoping that God will, the way he has enabled us to succeed for all those years, we hope that he's going to take us through. And it's a faith that we have, and we know that there are great things that are happening and coming to happen. So this year, there were some friends who came to Fikisha after your trip. The other friends who came, in fact, it was you came together with them. And Tony was sharing his story. He has completed high school for the last 4 years. He hasn't also joined college, and he wanted to be a doctor because that course was very expensive for us to cater for. Because normally we just promise them up to high school level. That's the standard we want all the kids to reach. But if God bless us with good resources, we can bring them to this level. So when he shared his story, there's one family that accepted to pay for his nursing school. And the smile that Tony has right now, you can't imagine the way he's seeing right now, he's achieving his dream. In fact, Tony is amongst two boys that have joined university right now. There's Reynard Bonke, who's also an orphan. He's now doing IT. Bonke was very bright. In fact, since he finished high school, we didn't pay any single cent. The government paid for his high school and another bank because he performed very well. The bank normally partners with the government, and the president is the one who normally flags that scholarship. And when Bonke finished high school, he met also the president. It was in the newspaper, like her picture, his picture was in front of the newspaper greeting the president when they were offering him that scholarship. So we didn't pay any single cent. And right now, like, we paid for his first semester, and he has applied for the government. It's called Higher Education Board loan. So he's applied for that loan, which whatever he's studying, he will pay later. So we normally even encourage those kids, learn, be smart, and great things will come. So these are just few stories that we have. There are so many stories. I wish I could have like 2 days of just standing here and explaining all these things. But we thank God so far for what he has done. And it is the work of God. I can testify that. And for us, the way Christ offered his life to us and meeting with the disciples, because our model is so simple, like, we believe in mentorship. And when we do mentorship, we mentor these kids, and also we teach them to mentor other kids. And in the community, we walk around every Saturday in the morning with a group of volunteers just to meet the community members and to encourage them that the choices they have is to make sure that we are all partnering together to make a better Kawangware. So we meet with our volunteers every Saturday in the morning. We do the walkthroughs. We knock doors, like the way Jehovah's Witness normally do. In fact, the first time when we knock a new door, those people tend to think that we are Jehovah's Witness. And they're like, oh, don't close. We are Fikisha, we do this and this, and creating that relationship with them. So the main aim of this program is just to welcome the community members to be part of the change that we're doing in the community. And also, like, also encouraging them, because there are so many choices. In fact, I spoke in two high schools in the U.S., and I'm glad to get that privilege. I was just encouraging those kids who are in high school. There are so many challenges that people are going through. And when I sat down and analyzed, the challenges are the same. There are kids who are doing drugs here. They are so much into depression. They are orphans. They are gang groups. But at the end of the day, it is your choice. And I was telling them that you need to make good choices. You know whom you're talking to. You know, at the end of the day, your parent and your teacher will show you, they'll just guide you. Your friend will come there to guide you in another way. But at the end of the day, it is your choice to make the right choice in your life. For us, we made the right choice, and that's why I'm standing here today, to testify and to be a testimony. And I'm so happy to be here. I'm happy to make new friends. I've met so many people, have new family, and I'm happy to be at Saddleback with Pastor Kevin and Dudley. It's a privilege to be here. Thank you so much. We welcome you to Kenya. If it's possible, we can have this kind of service in Kenya. Thank you so much. God bless you.